But one of the things that we talked about whenever we're talking about vision and what we see ourselves doing is the first thing we need to do is to really look at ourselves and see how we see ourselves, the vision of ourselves. And the thing that we determine is however else we see ourselves, we can see ourselves as a family of faith, a community that's on a journey, a blessed people, and all of these things are true and correct. We must first and foremost see ourselves as a people that are on a mission. God's people have always been on a mission. If you went to Genesis, the first thing we find out in Genesis 1:27 is God created human beings, and what's the very next thing he does? Be fruitful and multiply, right? He gives them a mission. If we look at the New Testament, Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, come and follow me. And we like that part, right? We like loving on Jesus, and we like Jesus loving on us, and we like that relationship that we have and the time that we spend with Jesus. But that's not all of the verse, right, Anthony? Let's go ahead and show the rest of that verse. Come and follow me, Jesus said. What? And I will send you out. Right, there's a mission attached to following Jesus because the people of God, followers of Christ, are people of mission. We had this paradigm shift that we wanted to do. And the reason, if you are new to Art and Faith and you notice this morning, like, hey, you had a soccer mom, you know, start the service. Or you had a business person doing communion. How come you just don't stick to the pastors and the staff to do the guys with the collars and the guys with the certificates and the ordained and all that to do all the parts? Well, the reason is one of the things that we value is that everyone is a minister. Everyone is, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Yes, even ladies. Yeah, young people, old people, everybody in between, if you are saved by Jesus, right, you're qualified. Okay, so, but we're even going to take a crazier shift than that in our paradigm. We're moving from everybody is a minister, which for some denominations and for some worldviews, that's kind of a, church views, that's kind of a crazy thing. But we're moving from everybody is a minister to everybody is a missionary. Everybody's on a mission. So it kind of even takes a different view in how we approach our day. Our mission, like every church, is the Great Commission. And every church, if you look, there's the Great Commission is found in four places, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in Acts. And we're going to read Matthew 28:18-19. If we could put it up behind me, and it says this, the one we're going to look at is in Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And because the authority has been given to him, therefore, right, it's therefore a reason, go and make disciples. So that's the general, overarching, big mission of every single church, and that's the overarching mission of Art and Faith. But every single church has its unique mission, its unique journey, its unique destination within that overarching vision. And we're going to talk about that today. We talked about it last week. And what is our mission? What is our mandate? And it is, if we can put that up, is living lives. Let's everybody say this, right? We are going to drip this into all of our services, all of our paperwork, everywhere. This is it, right? Living lives that connect people to Jesus and authentic community. So if anybody says, well, what does your church do? The first thing out of our mouths is, right, living lives that connect people to Jesus and authentic community. That's what we do. And we talked a little bit about what it meant to connect people to Jesus. And we really broke that down last week, and that's something that you'll have to get from the website. And then we talked a little bit, that's the what. We talked about, well, why are we doing it? The values. And we said, first and foremost, the why we're doing it is, first is worship, that our love for God is the fuel for everything that we do. Why do you guys do it that way? Why is that so important? Why do you guys stand up and sing for the first half hour? Is that to wake people up? Or is that to give people a chance with all the kids to get in the parking lot and to simmer down and to do things? Is that to get people ready for the sermon, to support the points in the sermon? No. It's because he's worthy of our praise. Right? We seek to honestly love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's why we do. That's the first reason. That's the number one reason. The other reason we do things is because for God's word, is because the Bible shows us to do stuff. I mean, it tells us, it provides a system, or it provides a framework and a plumb line for us for living lives and for doing the things that we do. Prayer. God gives direction in prayer. A lot of times we think it's giving God the list, the worry list. And I want to tell you, praying is not the same as worrying out loud to God. Right? It's talking to God, but it's also listening to God. And in our prayer life, he will give us direction. We read God's word, we have an idea. God, your word says this specifically. Is this what we should do now? And in our prayer life, he gives us the direction and the confirmation what to do, when to do, how to do it. Unity. We are better together. Plain and simple. We are referred to the apostolic teaching, Paul. We are referred to what? As the body of Christ. We're referred to as God's family. And the other value is missional. Why we're doing stuff is because we're created for mission. We are to proclaim and demonstrate the good news of Jesus Christ. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was proclaiming and he was demonstrating the good news that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, or the kingdom of heaven was near. And we can do that ourselves in our day-to-day lives, and to consistently lead people into God encounters. We talked about it last week, is we can't bring people to Jesus, but we can bring Jesus to people. Right? You can't pick them up by the scruff, and sometimes you want to, and you want to drag them, and they're kicking and fighting. You can't do it that way. But you can bring... You can't get people saved, but you can bring the Savior to people, the one who saves. You can bring them right to them. And if you want a list of our complete values, again, there is a two-page document on the website. You can check it out if you want the whole list. So, where are we going? Like we said last week, is that we are not going for the mega church. We are going for a network of medium-sized churches. We are not going with to have a TV pastor with piped in sermons, and don't get me wrong, we are not knocking anything. We pray every week, or not every week, for churches like that, but constantly we pray for churches like that. That's a valid model. In fact, that model is probably going to grow. But many times we have people come to us and saying, well, I just don't feel connected. For us, for my wife and I, we just don't feel comfortable in a church like that. And that's just not what God has called us to. So we're not saying there's a right way or a wrong way. We're just saying that the right way for us, what God has told us, is medium-sized churches that are defined by a passion for God and a compassion for the lost. Plain and simple. That are led by a local pastor and a shepherd. And these medium-sized churches that have an impact on their community that far exceeds their size, that they're measured by their sending capacity and not their seating capacity. And churches that have a heart for the least of the least, churches where everyone matters, to us, because everyone matters to Jesus. A lot of you know my stories, and you know why that's true. So, specifically, what are our goals? We talked about it last week. I'm not going to go through the chair story again, but God miraculously provided these chairs long before we had a building. So, if he gave us this number of chairs, then we said, we don't have to be geniuses to figure out that he gave us this number of chairs because this is what he wants us to fill. This is the number of people that he wants us to put in here. The carpet, like I said last week, I was like, God, well, why? Or about a month ago, why do we have the carpet? None of the other buildings have carpet in here. There's been other churches that were in here, and they didn't have carpet back here. There was a business back here, a music thing, and we've been in this building, and there was never carpet. The best of our knowledge, never carpet in here before. Nobody else has got carpet. Why here? And while I was praying, I felt God impressed on me and said that the reason there's carpet here is to soak up our tears for the lost. It wasn't just to make us comfortable, to make it sound better. So that we, in our heart for the lost, in our prayers, that we would do some serious praying for the lost. Okay, so here's where we pick up. Okay, so that was the review. Not bad for about 8 minutes. You guys still with me? Okay, so here's the new ground. We're going to talk about some of the exciting things, the outworking of, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. What are we going to be headed for? Well, the one thing you're going to see dramatically increase is communication and clarity. Come on up. This is one of the commitments that we really wanted to make in looking over the last few months. And we are actually going to have someone who is going to start next week as a staff person here, part-time staff person. And this person's job is going to be to do nothing but increase the communication level in the church. Isn't that exciting? I am so excited. There's a lot of times where I should be sleeping and I'm trying to make communications. And it shows. Or sometimes it's just time, isn't it? Yeah. It is just time. So what you guys need to do is we're going to start this thing next week. So just be looking for your inbox so you can get the communications, and we'll make a big announcement next week. So it's going to increase. We're going to be doing series, and we're going to have things called D groups, which will happen. We don't want to use the term Sunday school because for some of you, you probably, like my wife, she comes from a good independent Baptist background, and the Sunday school on the Wednesday night and Sunday night and choir practice, and what'd you call the thing? Visitation on Saturday, and that whole church life cycle. And if I use the word Sunday school, she starts kind of just shaking. But it's kind of like that. It'll happen maybe on Sunday morning, but there'll be these D groups or discipleship things that we'll do. We'll do sermon series or different things where we're really going to clarify for you all kind of what we believe. I mean, if you're part of a denomination, specific denomination, you know what you believe when you come in, and that's why you came in the front door. But for a non-denominational church, it's kind of like, what do? I mean, there's some variance in non-denominational churches. And we really pride ourselves on trying to be the most balanced that we can be, right? We want to look at Scripture, and that's what we want to do. And unfortunately, some people just won't let you do that. We first came and we started saying, okay, well, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And true story, one of the calls when we first came in here, lady said, okay, well, tell me about the church, this and that and this and that. And the question before she let me off the phone was, now, no snakes, right? True story. I'm like, no snakes. And we started using some words, and then we thought, oh my gosh, Julie said, when we use that word, they think we're like this type of crazy kind of thing. So we found out that people just almost insist on painting us with a broad brush. You know, they said, well, we're really inspiring in our worship, and we want to give it our everything. And people said, well, if you're that way about your worship experience, you can't be serious about the Word of God. It's like you had to make a choice. We're like, no, We are very, very serious about our worship, but we do have some series where we go verse by verse, you know, book by book for the Bible through some of the year. Sometimes we do a series, or sometimes we do have a place where we'll just do topical through the Word. But there doesn't have to be an either-or kind of situation. We believe in all the gifts, but on Sunday we believe everything should be decently and orderly. But people just want to kind of whitewash us with wash us with a broad brush and paint us into a certain theological corner, and we just aren't going to do it. But we need to be really, really clear, and we're going to do it, because we try to rest and reside and live out of a place we call the radical middle. And it's a tough place, and people are kind of scratching their heads where we live. And it's not that we don't want to take a stand, but we are going to try to help you all out by with courses and with sermon series on spiritual gifts. We're going to do a series or course on growing your faith muscle, right? What we believe on, that sort of thing. Another course or a series actually on evangelism is easy. You know, that's the easiest thing that a believer can do is evangelize. And we've turned it into like just the toughest thing on how to have local mission, local impact, how to be a God encounter. You know, we're created to be a God encounter. And just if I use that word, it's like, oh no, I've got to dye my hair purple, and I've got to wear this robe, and I got to put on this sign and stand on street corners, you know, with doom and gloom. Oh my gosh. I mean, we can just make it so stinking hard. Or I don't have 4 months to go up to Billy Graham and take the evangelistic class. It's so easy. It really is. It's so easy. So we're going to talk about those types of things. So, moving on. Anyway, we are going to define, and we're going to communicate, and we're going to be really, really, this is one of the areas we're going to grow really strongly in, and I think it's something that it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to help. Amen? So, the next thing we're going to talk about, before we get to calendar and those types of things, are the marks. What are the marks that, if somebody is going to be part of the Ardent Faith Church, what are they going to look like if we're doing it right? What types of Christ follower are we trying to produce? Does that make sense? Okay. Well, here's the type of Christ follower that we feel called to produce. We're called to produce people that are connected to God and His ways. We'll call this people that are godlike or godly. But basically, they have a certain level of spiritual maturity. These are people that got off of a formula. Mushy peas. The formula, right? We've got a little baby in the back. It's okay. Strained prunes. But at 16 years old, he's going to hate you with the strained prunes and all that. Even pretty soon, he's going to like do the squash, and then eventually he's going to want a little bit of hard food, some cheese, different things. Right? Pretty soon, he's going to want some steak. Right? We're in the South. What's he going to want? Some hush puppies. How do they graduate? I can't remember it anymore. My little baby's 21. So, but you know, there's this progression, you know, so we've got to have some spiritual maturity. He's got to be look like dad. Right? That little baby didn't have blonde hair. Looks like dad. He's got dark hair. Got to carry the family resemblance. So that's the type of believer that we are trying to produce. The next thing is that we're looking for people. People that will look like is they'll be connected with each other. They'll be Christ-like. They'll have an emotional maturity. This is where the church, listen to this, this is where we gain influence and we lose influence. When there's this disconnect between where we say we're so spiritually mature, but then we're so emotionally mature, and then the world looks at that. Because if I say, well, tell me What does it mean to be Christ-like? What do we say? Go ahead. What do we say? Like Jesus, humble, right? Meek, slow to anger. These things, when we look at all the things that we think in our Bible studies, we try, well, you got to memorize 66 books in order. You got to do this thing. And we don't. And people look at the things of a mature Christian, and they're backhanding their kids in the parking lot on their way into the church parking lot. You've done it. You get in an argument with your wife, you know. Whatever you want to do. I mean, whatever happens, it does. But they see this gap between spiritual maturity and emotional maturity, and it kills us. It kills our witness in the world. So, emotionally mature. The next thing is people that are connected to power, doing and saying what the Holy Spirit says. We were never meant to do this on our own strength. Also, the fourth thing, people that are connected to the needs of our neighbors. Missional people that are engaged in a radical generosity. Eric talked about it, about not pulling back. Your paycheck on the net, on the bottom line, looked a little bit different this week. Made you think a little bit. Read Psalm 112 twice and call me in the morning. Fearless generosity. Those that belong to the Lord, you don't have to hold back giving to the poor. There's a whole different economy. There's a whole different way of living, a whole different way of managing finances for those that love the Lord. Psalm 112. Read it. But what we're looking for is a church that not only serves its community, but also pastors it and shepherds it. And here's the way we're going to try to do this paradigm shift, is that whoever doesn't have a pastor or a church, we are their pastor. And we are their church. So we're not going around like stealing everybody's sheep. Right? But if they don't have a pastor, and if they don't have a church, if they don't have somebody to care for, that's us. Right? We can't walk by. We have to be wrecked to be able to do that. We're going to talk a little bit about that over the next few weeks. You guys up for that? Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be exciting. What a way to live life. I'm their pastor. I'm their caretaker. I'm their brother. I'm their sister. I'm their God. I'm their sign that God has a purpose and a plan. I've come to remind them that there's hope. It's me. Okay, so how are we doing it? We really tried to make this simple of the things that we are doing. If we could show, go ahead and show the diagram. If you guys have your thing, you can take that home. But basically, it's about this simple. Look, there's a bunch of arrows, but we're going to make it really, really simple. Basically, in the center, we see prayer. Prayer is in the middle of it all, and all things flow from prayer. All things are soaked in prayer. Prayer is really a statement of dependence. It's saying, apart from God, we can do nothing. John 15:5. We got to abide in Him, and the way that we abide in Him is best done through an active prayer life. Last year, at the beginning of the year with our elder board, we prayed about it and felt that we were going to believe for a budget of $130,000. That's what we believed for. That's what we prayed for all year. 3, how much came in? $130,000. It was 163. 130,163, and we believed and were praying all year for 130,000. Is that awesome? God answers prayer. Hearing from God and doing what God is doing. So the first Wednesday is prayer and fasting. We'll be doing themes of healing and outreach and different things. We're starting up the 412 prayer ministries. And when we have people that pray, really it's kind of our key leaders that pray. But we want to build on that prayer ministry. It's not just key leaders. We believe that some here in this room and those that we aren't here today will be prayer warriors and people that will pray for prayer requests. This is great if you can't. I commit that you could do this from anywhere. People that will pray for the services, people that will pray for events, and people that will pray for other churches and different things. So prayer is at the center, and all things will flow through prayer. So let's look at the vertical axis here, right? Going straight up and down. At the top is worship, and that is really kind of the Sunday morning service that we have. Now, all things are worship, but this is really just talking about the Sunday morning things that happen. At the bottom, you will see grow. And this is our own personal devotion life, or our own personal way that we can grow. There was a Reveal study done, and the Reveal study was 250,000 people that went to church were interviewed, and it entailed 1,000 different churches. And this study involved people that were just seeking the claims of Christ to those that were mature believers. And these were people that went from big churches to small churches, churches that were seeker-driven to those that weren't seeker-driven at all. And across the board, there was one habit or one thing that they engaged in that had the biggest impact on their spiritual development. And they registered people and they asked them questions all the way from those that weren't or that were spiritually stalled out to those that were really growing quite a bit spiritually. And every point, there was like 8 points on the continuum. So those that were growing the most gave one habit that they had that grew them better than anything else. Sadly, doing more church activities wasn't the thing that grew them the most. In fact, if they were mature believers, it was a thing that didn't have any impact on them at all. So you could go to 7 things 7 days a week and it didn't impact their spirituality at all. Here's something to pay attention to. This is sobering. In fact, this one thing that they were doing that grew them the most, whether they were new believers or whether they were believers for a long time, this one thing, the longer that you attend church without engaging in this one activity, increases the chance that you will never grow spiritually in your life. This is why we got to pay attention to it. Got my attention. This one activity is this: reading and reflecting on scriptures for personal meaning is the single different biggest difference maker whether you've just begun to follow Jesus or whether you're a mature Christian or any type of Christian in between. That's why this year we are really going to press into the Word. You're going to get tired of me pushing us to get into the Word, because I know that if I don't, the longer we go without developing this thing, the longer we're just like, we run the risk of just not growing spiritually ever. I don't want that for any of us. I want us all, I don't want anybody, if they had to take that survey to check the box, I'm stalled out. I mean, we're all going to have seasons like that, right? Raise your hand if you've ever had a season where you said, I'm kind of spiritually stalled out. We all have that. But the awesome thing about Christ Jesus, what he paid for, is that we don't have to stay in that place of being spiritually stalled out. Amen? We don't have to stay there. And we can have this season corporately as a church family where we can all have a season of unparalleled growth. And that's what I'm believing for. And in faith, that's why we are putting these things down, that we are pressing into the Word. We are going to have 6, if you look on your thing, we're going to have 6 times 10 days of. We are going to have 10 days where we are going to focus on a specific theme and we are going to read it together. For 10 days, we are going to read on faith. And we're going to supply you with scripture verses on faith. And for 10 days, Every other month, we're going to focus on faith. And then skip a month, and then the month after that, we're going to have 10 days of grace where we're going to read together 10 specific verses on grace. And then we're going to read on humility. And we're going to go for 10 days as a church family. And we're going to focus together and blog and do all sorts of things and feedback on humility. And then we're going to go 10 days on forgiveness. And then we're going to go take a month off. And then so we're not going to like go crazy and carry this heavy weight. You know, so something that we can't do, but we can all do this. I can do it, you can do it. We can each do 10 days. And then the awesome thing is that that's 60 days. I think that's pretty good, doing it together. The other thing that's exciting, if we could show this the screen up here, go to the Journey to Jerusalem. Ardent Faith, we're coming up. We're working with City Church in Charlotte. We're going to do this with them. We are going to do a Lent season. I've never done a Lent season. Has anybody here ever done a Lent season? If you were maybe raised Catholic or Anglican or Lutheran or something like that, you may have done a Lent thing. We're going to do, it's a Lent light, I guess, version of it. But we're coming up with this booklet, and we're all going to do this Lent a journey. There's going to be a sermon series that's going to be built on it for 6 weeks. Our life groups are going to be built on it. And again, we're all going to go on this spiritual journey. And every day there's going to be a short scripture reading. And there's going to be a play. Some of us have never journaled before. Or it's been a long time. There's actually going to be a little bit of tiny journaling section. And we're all going to kind of do this thing together. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. All right? Horizontal. That's the vertical axis right there. Let's go horizontal axis right here. Okay, belong. Life groups. Again, the first life groups are going to be kind of built around this journey to Jerusalem, and then there'll be other things that we're going to do. But this is student ministries, kids, women's, men's, different things. Bless. Second Saturdays, we are going to go out and bless people. We have different ways that that's going to happen. I've got a seed bag right here. Wild seeds, and we are going to make our own envelopes, and we are going to go out into the neighborhoods, and we are going to throw some seeds, spiritually and literally. We're going to put these into little seed packets and go and just go out to our neighbors and introduce ourselves and ask if we can pray for them. We're not going to ask them if they know how to get into heaven. Tell them we got good news, they're going to hell. We're going to go out and just tell them. I give them these bags of seeds and make them ourselves. And then if they are mean to us, what we're going to do is tear the bag open. And we're going to throw the seeds right in their garden. And then when it grows up, they'll see these pretty seeds and they'll come to church. No, just kidding. But this is a prophetic act. We're going to put out, we're saying, like, we're putting seeds out into the neighborhoods. Amen? Awesome. Okay, so that's just one little easy thing. I got the seed for that idea from Lauren. Come grow with us. I don't know what we're going to say. The outreach, we really do it with justice and prayer. We've taken out grocery cards before. There's some really, really cool ideas. We want to go out, though, and we want to be a God encounter. It's easy to be a God encounter. Peanut brittle. I got this box because it reminds me of two guys, Tevin and Anthony. They work for this thing called Teen United. If you shopped at Harris Teeter on Friday, you saw them out there, a couple of guys. They were trying to raise funds. And they were stuck there, and I gave them $5. I got a thing of peanut brittle. They couldn't go anywhere. So I just asked them if I could pray for them. They're like, okay, they couldn't go anywhere. Perfect, right? And I told them, I said, is it okay? I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. Is that fine? They're like, okay. So they said it was to raise money for students, for an education. So I said, okay, I'll start praying. But then there was people coming. So they're like, oh, they're getting distracted. I go, okay, one at a time. I'm like, okay. So I prayed for the one guy, talked about his family, that God would heal something in his family, and it would be a sign to him that God would do something awesome throughout his whole life. He could always go back to that one area that God would do something and repair in his family. The next guy, his name is Anthony, and I just got this sense, I just got a word, I just like literally, Captain. And he said, I thought they were raising money to go to school, but I said, Captain, I said, are you going to the military by chance? And he goes, yeah. How do you know? And I go, God's trying to get your attention, do you think? And he goes, yeah, because you're like the third or fourth guy who's like said something about leadership on that. So anyway, they didn't make it in today, but we're praying for them. But he agreed, God's trying to get my attention. So when I talk about being a God encounter, it wasn't something that amazing, and it wasn't like on the wall, captain appeared, or anything crazy like that. I didn't have a track to give him or anything, but I just took about 2 more minutes, honestly. And it was perfect because they couldn't go anywhere, you know, and it was a $5 thing. It's super, super easy, and I want to show you a video before we close. We've got this of a couple of other people that just with kind of nothing, just with a hobby that they had, just with an opportunity, was something that kind of came to work, a super creative, easy thing to do, and they went out and just did some God encounters. You guys ready for that? Okay. So, you don't have to do 6 months of fundraising. You can just use a hobby that you have. Right, the point is you can be creative. God can do anything through us if we're willing and able. We've got Dad's house, and you can raise your hand. Talk to her. There's some information on the bulletin board there, but we touch about 125, 150 kids in one of the worst neighborhoods in North Mech almost on a daily basis. And it's an awesome story there, what God is doing there. And also, we've got a trip to Cherish, Uganda. It's an orphanage, children's village that we are a partner with. And we have 50 kids on the ground there. Every one of those kids is infected with HIV, a virus. So it's the least of the least. And I've got a trip planned. We got the dates. It's on from July 25th through August 4th this year. So we are willing and open to talking to you guys if you guys have a heart for that. So we've gone over. We're going to go ahead and close right now. If you would, go ahead and we'll stand and we'll pray. Lord, we're grateful to you that you are the God of vision, that you are the God who sees, and that you're the God who speaks. Lord, and we believe and we move forward in faith that we've heard your voice. Lord, that you've placed your hand upon us. Lord, and as we've come forward, we acknowledge that you have complete veto power, Lord, over all of this. We come forward in faith, Lord, knowing that you supply all of our needs, that for all of this, that just like you've done in the past every year, Lord, that you have supplied all of the needs for all of the ministries, and you've gone above and beyond, Lord, each and in every season that we've been in, Lord. We say that you are good, and in you is abundance, and we're really, really thankful for that. We acknowledge that everything that we have, everything that's good that happens here, flows from your hands, Lord. And we give you praise and we give you thanks for all things. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.